Amen. I appreciate the Lord, what he's doing. Amen. Mark chapter number 6. You got your place to say amen. Y'all got it before I did. Amen. Amen. All right. Good to see you in church this morning. Amen. Mark chapter number 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 45. Amen. The Bible said, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being so good to us. God, we want to say we're thankful this morning for mercy and grace. God, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. But we're thankful for the love of Jesus and the grace of God. Amen. I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you'd meet with us this morning. I thank you for the good song service we've already had. Thank you, God, for those good songs. Thank you for the people that sung them. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd be in the preaching this morning. God, have your will and way. God, I need your power. I pray, God, you'd give me, Lord, the unction from on high to preach the word of God. I pray, have your will and way in this auditorium this morning. I pray everybody would be able to give your word attention this morning. And, God, you'd have free course and free will and way. Lord, help some people today. Save some people if it be your will. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here in our story, we've read in Mark 6, Jesus has come and these disciples on the ship in the midst of the storm. If you was to pick up the context, they had just witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. We've all heard the story about the feeding of the 5,000. You know how Jesus took the loaves and the couple of fishes and the five loaves, and he blessed them and broke them. And so he dispersed that through his disciples amongst the crowd. And the Bible said he fed 5,000 men, and that's not counting the women and the children. So we don't know how many thousands it could have been on top of that. But many people, 5,000 plus, had been fed. And now the Bible says here in verse number 52 that they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hard. Their heart was hardened. I want to preach on this thought this morning for a little while. I'm going to try my best to preach on, hasn't God been good? Hasn't God been good? I was thinking about this. It's easy to become busy and bothered and burdened down with life. You're going through life, and we seem sometimes we lose focus on just how good God has been and just all that he's done for us. Just think about the blessings of salvation in and of themselves. They ought to be enough to shout from now to eternity, amen, and while the ages roll. And sometimes we go through life and we become burdened, we become busy and even bothered by things, and we lose our focus, we lose perspective of what we're doing and who we are in Christ. We got to be careful sometimes not to let our hearts become hardened, because I want to say it's easy to do even as a Christian. Even when we basking in the blessings of God, can I say to prevent this, sometimes we need to remember, just remember the goodness of God will help us prevent having our hearts become hardened. Can I say this? The cure for hardness of heart is to consider the past blessings from God. When you think about all the troubles you're facing and you're thinking about all that you're going through today and all that you're dealing with, and you're starting to get weighed down and life begins to beat you down, and you start to think about what it's like, just remember how God has already been good to you. Just think about the blessings in the past and consider His blessings. Consider His miracles in your life. Consider that He saved you out of hell, amen. That's enough, amen. Just consider God has been good to you. The old song said, hadn't God been good? Yeah, He's been so good, amen. And so we ought to consider His past blessings. Can I say, when we think about how good He's been, you can just mark her down. He can and He will do it again. Amen. I said, He can and He will. Can I say this? In present distress, do not forget God's past blessings. Hey, you're going to face, Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Amen. But He said, be of good cheer. He said, for I have overcome the world. Can I say this morning? Hey, in present distress, don't lose sight of past blessings. Past blessings will, hey, get in your mind and in your heart, and you'll stir up and you'll realize, hey, He can and He will, amen. He can and He will. Can I say this? If we fail to consider God's past, hey, think about this, His past power working in your life, His past protection in your life, His past provisions in your life. You fail to remember these things and consider these things. I will say this, you and I, you say, I'm saved, I'm spirit-filled, I'm running with God right now. But I'm going to say this morning, if you fail to consider how God has worked in your past, you can and you will become calloused and hard-hearted just like these disciples. Just like these disciples. Now think about it now. These disciples, they most likely were and should have been on a spiritual high, man. They just came through revival. They just come out of jubilee. They just saw 5,000 fed. Hey, and on top of that, 5,000 fed out of 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Y'all all right? I'm talking about a pack of sardines and a loaf of bread, amen? Hey, I'm talking 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus says, that's no problem. 5,000 men plus the women and child, that's all right. We got it covered. Yeah. They're looking around for food. And Jesus, and now they had just come from there. And now Jesus puts them on a ship, tells them go to the other side. And now here they are out there, and they're worried, they're scared, and they're hard-hearted. Y'all all right? Hey, can I say it's easy as Christians sometimes? Man, we're living up here on the mountain, but I want to remind you that the same God on the mountain, He's the same God in the valley. Hey, the God when it's good, the God when it's shouting time, He's still God when it's, hey, crying time. Hey, the God that's been good to you in the past, He's still the God that's going to be good to you when it's dark. Hey, man, I'm talking about the God, hey, that fed the 5,000. He was the same God that was going to steal the storm, amen, in their life. Hey, I'm talking about, hey, they were on a spiritual high. Man, they were excited. They were rejoiced. And then here it is, man. We got it here in verse 45. He constrains His disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side. And the next thing you know, the Bible says in verse 52, they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves, and their heart was hardened. They failed to remember. They didn't consider. They didn't even understand all that had taken place and how God, and we could go into that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and how God took that bread and he blessed it and He used those 2 fishes. And, hey man, what a blessing that would have been to witness that day. And they were on a spiritual high, but now they're in a storm. Now their hearts are hard. Now, hey, they have failed to remember the past blessings. All they're looking at is present distresses. All they can see is the present. All they can see is the here and now. They're forgetting how good God's been. They're failing to realize and focus on how good God is and how good He's going to be. Are y'all with me this morning? Hey, and I'm saying this morning that you and I, we can get hard-hearted and we can fail to remember those things and we'll lose sight and we'll lose focus and the devil will get us all messed up. And so you say, preacher, I want you to see some things this morning. Before we do, you say, preacher, somebody might have this question. Preacher, why did He send them into a storm? You know, He was God. You all right? Jesus was God. He's always been God. He'll always be God. He'll never cease to be God. If He ever ceased to be God, He never was God. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Turn the TV preachers off. He didn't, listen to me, He didn't become God at His baptism and quit being God at the cross. He was God before His birth. He's God at His birth. He's God at the cross. He's God at the tomb. He's God out of the tomb. He's God on the throne. Amen. He's always God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if He's God, and He is, He knew there was going to be a storm.
when he put them on the boat. Before he ever told them to get on the boat and constrained them to get on the ship, he knew they was going into a storm. So why? You say, preacher, why did he send them into a storm? Let me say this. If you used to go back into John 15, you'll pick up the same story. And in John chapter 6, verse 12, about right there in about 12 or 15. And the Bible says that Jesus perceived that they were going to take him by force and they were going to make him to be king. Now, Jesus was going to be king, and let me say, he's still going to be king. Amen. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to take over. He's not coming to take sides. He's coming to take over, and he's going to rule, and he's going to reign. Hey, from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Amen. Y'all all right? Hey, that's going to happen, but it wasn't time that. Let me say, number one, sometimes God sends us through storms as part of God's timing. Sometimes we're wanting to be on the mountaintop. We're wanting to have this. We're wanting to rain. We're wanting to do this. And God says, wait a minute, it's not time for that yet. And that's right. Jesus said it wasn't time. So he put his disciples on the ship and sent them to a storm. Not only was it had to do with God's timing, but it had something to do with God's teaching. Sometimes God uses storms to teach us things. He wants us to grow. Hey, he wants us to go through. And can I say that if you've ever been through a storm, you know what I'm talking about. And let me say this morning, it's already been said many times, and we'll say it again. You're either in a storm, you just come out of a storm, or you're fixing to go up into a storm. All right? Hey, but hey, you that's been through some storms, you know that when you went through that storm, it was tough. But God brought you through that storm. And when you got to the other side, you had grown. You had learned something. You learned that God was going to be faithful. God was going to be true. God's going to take care of you. And you could make it with him. You learned some things. Hey, God's timing, God's teaching has to do with God's purpose and God's preparation. He's preparing us and he's stretching us and he's growing us. Can I say, when God saves you, it wasn't good enough. Hey, he saved you and that was good enough to get you to heaven, but that wasn't all he had for you, amen. If it was, he'd have took you to heaven, but when he saved you, he began a growth process. There's a lot of Christians trying to get out of this growth thing. But you're going to grow in grace or you're going to be a spiritual mutant. And so sometimes he puts you through the storms to let you see not how small you are, but how big he is. And he's teaching you and he's growing you. And sometimes that's why storms are healed. But can I remind you this, that God either directly causes or he indirectly allows everything that ever comes into the life of a believer. Not one accident happened in your life. You say, well, God just, you know, it's just God. No, it didn't catch God off guard. Are y'all all right? You think about old Job and all he went through. Hey, not a thing happened to Job that God didn't know was going to happen. And God lifted back and he said, Satan, you can go, but you can only go so far. And that's the way it is in the life of belief. And sometimes he does that and he's teaching us. He's growing us. But I want to say this. You say, preacher, what happened to these disciples? Why did they become hard-hearted? Why did they become so downhearted in their story? Let me say this. Number one, I want you to notice this. They felt like, or they seemed like, they thought they were deserted in their work. They thought they were deserted in their work. Look with me in verse number 46. In verse 46, he said, and when he, well, first verse 45, he constrained his disciples to get in the ship. And then the Bible says, the last part of that verse, he sent away the people. And verse 46 says, when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. Now, Jesus went to the mountain to pray. And verse 47 says, when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Now, Jesus was on the land. He's up on the mountain praying. And his disciples are in this ship. But verse 48 says, and watch this, and he saw them toiling and rowing. That's pretty good right there. Now he's departed to a mountain to pray. I want you to remember that when you're in the storm, he hadn't forgot about you. I want you to remember this. Jesus Christ is our great intercessor. 1 John 2 talks about how he is our advocate. He's our go-between. Hey, 1 Timothy 2 said, hey, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. He's our go-between. He is our intercessor. Can I say this morning, hey, there's somebody sitting at the right hand of God the Father this morning, and he's praying for you if you're a child of God. Hey, he's your intercessor. He's praying for you. He's asking God, take care of that one. That one right there is mine. Bought and paid for by the blood. Amen. Amen. And he's our... So let me just remind you this morning that when you think you're alone, you're really not alone. Proverbs 15:3 said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Hey, God's watching. He's got his all-seeing eye of omnipotence, and he's got his all-seeing eye, his providential care. He's watching over you this morning. In verse 47, they were in the sea. He's alone on the land. They think, man, we're down here by ourselves. But watch this. Verse 48 says, he saw them. That right there is shouting ground. He saw them. Can I remind you this morning, you think you're serving God, you think you've been saved, and now here you are, you're working, and you think you're all alone, and you think it's so hard, and that toiling and rowing, that has the idea, man, that toiling is a word that sometimes is interpreted to be tormented. Torment. I mean, they feel like they're harassed and distressed. Y'all ever felt like that? That word toiling has the idea of laboring, hard work. And here they are laboring in rowing. I mean, that's what they did, man. They were rowing. They had to row. And here they are, and they think, man, we're all alone. Man, here they are. They are struggling at sea. Man, they feel like the winds are against them. Here they are, and they think they're all alone. And why did Jesus put it on this boat? Why did he send us on this ship and go through this? Hey, ship, why did he send me down? And sometimes you're going through life, and you think, all right, here I am. I'm all alone, and nobody's helping me. I ain't got nobody. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. It's so hard. I'm going through, life, and it just seems like, well, who cares? And I want you to know, he saw them. He saw, hey, notice this. He was conscious of their condition. He was conscious of what they were going through. He saw, I want you to remember this morning, hey, God knows what you're going through. You're not serving him in vain. God's keeping track. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows the burdens of your life. He knows how hard it is. He knows when you're toiling and rowing. Hey, sometimes it's easy. Y'all would testify to the fact. Sometimes serving God's easy. Like when everything's going good. Like in the midst of Jubilee when everybody's shouting and praising God. Hey, it's easy to get in there and go to revival. Y'all with me? It's easy for some of them. Hey. But sometimes when nobody's around, and when you're seems like you're fighting hell by the acre, and it seems like everybody you talk to has something negative to say, you can't, and it seems like it's hard work sometimes. I want you to know, in the good times, he sees you, and in the hard times, he sees you. He's conscious of what you're going through. Hey, his disciples, here they are. They're toiling around. And I can get a picture. I can picture. I've been out there. How many have been out on the ocean when it got rough? I'm talking about white caps. I've been out there when Brother Rodney, I've been out there when them waves looked like they was coming over top the boat. I went deep sea fishing one time, and I don't know where we was, but we was way out yonder, and it was way too much water to drink. Y'all with me? And I fell asleep in the cabin of the boat on a bench. And when I woke up, there was a cooler, a big old cooler laid up beside me. And when I woke up, I was on the other side of the cooler in the floor. I'd say we hit a big wave. Y'all with me? But I can imagine these disciples out in the middle of the ocean, the sea they were on. I can imagine the waves and how hard it was to row. Thank God we got motors nowadays to run them boats. But here they are. They're tooling, man. And I can just imagine, and you serving God. And here you are, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you lose focus of where you're doing and who you're doing it for, it gets hard. It gets hard. But I want you to know, even in the hard times, he's conscious. He's watching. He knows what you're going through. He knows the storm you're in. He knew it before you got there. He's conscious. He saw. I'm encouraged this morning by the fact that he saw them. I like that old song, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not. I like that. Jesus knows all about our struggles. I'm glad he knows, Brother Robbie. I'm glad I don't have to call him up and say, God, you never guess what just happened. Hey, you're not gonna believe. No, he already knows. When I go to him in my hard times, when I go to him, when I'm struggling through life, when I go to him, hey, and God, I'm facing a situation, I'm facing a storm, I'm facing a battle, you just don't understand. No, he says, hey, I already know, I'm watching. I knew it, I was there before you got there. Some of y'all have a hard time with that. When you get to your storm tomorrow, he's there waiting on you. When you come out of your storm, hey, the next day, he's going to be there waiting on you. He's going to say, come on through, I got you on this one. I'm glad he saw him. Hey, they thought they thought they were deserted in their work. It's easy sometimes when you lose focus. He's up there praying for you. Y'all with me? It's easy sometimes to forget that and to get a case of the woe is me. Woe is me. You know, you get that Elijah complex. Ain't nobody left but me. And God says, hey, Elijah, they 7,000 just like you. Amen? Sometimes it's easy. It's easy. Oh, it's just me. No, you're not in this thing alone. They thought they were deserted in the work. But listen, number two, they thought they were doomed by the winds. They thought, hey, watch it there in verse 48. Verse 48 says, and we saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. The wind was contrary. Now that word wind, it's a word that speaks of a violent, tempestuous wind. It's something like a storm that would come up on the ocean, like a hurricane or a tornado out on the ocean or on the sea. It's not just some little thunderstorm. This is a monster of a storm. And the Bible talks about the wind, but it says that it was contrary unto them. Now that word contrary, you probably know some people that's contrary. Everything you say, they're against it. Y'all don't know anybody like that. Baptists ain't like that. This wind was contrary. This word contrary, it means that it was against them. It was opposing them. It was an opponent to them. Here they are. Hey, Jesus told them. Did not Jesus tell them, get on the ship, go to the other side? And here they are. They're rowing. They're doing all they can. Man, here they are rowing. And they seem like, man, we're not getting anywhere. That wind is coming. They're facing a headwind, man. Here, it's coming right at them. It's contrary unto them. And they think, man, we're going down. That's what they get to think. And they think, we can't go anywhere. You ever been like that? Seems like you're going through life. Seems like you're serving God, doing just what God told you to do. And it seems like the harder you work, it seems like the storms pop up everywhere. Seems like, man, you're trying to raise your family right. You're trying to be faithful to God. You're trying to do everything God wants you to do. Hey, but it seems like the harder you try and the more you try to serve God, it seems like the more storms you fight. Seems like the winds of contrariness are coming against you. It seems like every time you take a step, hey, there's a wind blowing in your face. Seems like every time you go to serve God, every time you try to witness to somebody, every time you try to be faithful to church, or every time you try to teach Sunday school, or every time you try to do something for God, seems like the wind's blowing you back the other way. You're facing storms. There's troubles comes up in your life. There's storms. It may be family problems. It may be financial problems. It may be, hey, friend problems. I don't know what your problem is this morning, but I promise you, if you're alive and you're a person, you got problems. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Hey, you talking, the old song says, troubles, I got them. We got them. And being a Christian is no ticket to exemption from troubles and storms. But it's a promise that in those storms, you got somebody that's going to be there with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, those winds were contrary. But watch what happens. When they're in the midst of the storm, and the storm is contrary to them, I like this. About the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, about the fourth watch of the night, he, watch it now, not he's just not conscious of them, but watch this, he cometh unto them. What I'm talking about. He cometh unto them. Can I say this? He came to them in their hour of need. Psalm 46:1, the Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Very present help in trouble. Very present help in trouble. He said over there in, I think it's Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. He said, and be content with such things as you have. He said, for I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then he goes on to say in the very next verse, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He didn't say what man can do unto me. He said what man shall do unto me. Can I say, man's going to do some things against you. You're going to fight some storm. But I like this fact that in the midst of the storm, the wind's coming against them. They're fighting it all. Hey, they're fighting hell by the acre. And he came unto them. I want you to know, child of God, that when you're fighting it, when you're going through the storm, there's going to come a day in the fourth watch. Hey, man, he's coming your way. He sees you. He's conscious of what you're going through. And he'll come to you in your time of need. He's a very present help in trouble. He came, well, I like this. Watch this. He didn't just come to them, but he came unto them walking upon the sea. Now here they are. They are scared to death. I mean, y'all with me? They think they're about to die. And he came unto them walking on the sea. Can I say it like this? I'll just try to be real prim and proper for you, all right? He has already conquered what you fear. Those disciples on that boat that night, middle of the night, man, I don't like to be outside between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Nobody should be outside between 3 and 6. Y'all with me? Nothing good happens between 3 and 6 except sawing logs. Amen? I feel sorry for y'all third shifters, man. God made you to sleep at night and work at day. Amen? But hey, man, somewhere between 3 and 6, and they're out there toiling and rowing, winds contrary to them. They see these waves, no doubt, man. They see the water coming. They're fearful for their life. And here comes Jesus. Like old song said, here comes Jesus walking on the water. They were scared of the water. They saw the water as a threat to their life. They saw the water as something that was about to overcome them. And the winds and the waves. And here comes Jesus walking on the waves. We go through things in life and we see distress and we see despair and we see trouble and we see anguish and we see troubles coming our way. And Jesus says, hey, in all these things, I've made you more than conquerors. He's already defeated what's trying to defeat you. I'm trying to help you this morning. What they thought was going to destroy them, God had already conquered. Jesus was walking on the waves that they were afraid of. He came to them. Walking upon the sea. He was walking on what they feared. Somebody said this, faith. That's what we ought to have in him in the midst of the storm. Somebody, one of the old timers said, faith is this. Forsaking all, I trust him. Now I want to say this. If they would have known and realized, remember the miracle of the 5,000? Remember the food that he provided out of 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes? And he fed 5,000. If they would have remembered his past provisions and past protections, they would have thought, this ain't no big deal. He's up there praying for us. He's going to come and deliver. But no. They were scared. And here they are toiling and rowing. Wind's contrary. And here he comes. And what they're scared of, he comes walking. Can I say this? In the midst of your storm, trust Jesus. Just trust him. You say that simple, preacher. I ain't going to write a book. I ain't got 10 steps. I'm just saying this. Just trust Jesus. Just trust Jesus. The book's already written. Trust him. You can place all your faith and confidence in him. Hey, I promise you, he's going to take care of you. Number 3. Not only did they feel like they were deserted in the work, not only did they feel like they were doomed by the winds, but they were desperate for a word. They were desperate for a word. Now listen, now they'd been with Jesus. They'd walked with Jesus. They'd talked with him. They'd been around him. He sends them out on the ship. They saw the miracle. They're out there on that ship. And they were like you and I many times. In the midst of the storms, we lose focus. We can't see the blessings for the storms coming our way. We can't see Jesus out there praying for us for the wind and the waves that's blowing in our eyes. We lose focus. We lose perspective of what it's all about and what's going on around us. And that's exactly what was going on here. And I want to say in that need, hey, in that time, they were in desperate need of a word from God. Watch the end of verse 48. Verse 48 says, and talking about when Jesus came walking on the sea, watch this, and would have passed them by, or passed by them. Now you think about that. That leads me to think that there was a possibility he would have just passed right on by them and let them keep toiling. Maybe even sink. And do y'all see that in the King James Bible? And would have passed by them or passed them by. But watch verse 50 or verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Now, I could say a whole lot about that supposing. Supposing had been a spirit. I could say something about that word spirit. It means an appearance, or it has the idea of a phantom or a specter, an apparition. Something they thought it was just a vision. Something they didn't think it was real. You know, there's a lot of people that the only thing that can help them, they don't think is real. The only one that could come to them walking on the storm to them and help them, they think it's just a coincidence. There's no substance to it. Can I say, hey, Jesus was more than a spirit, and he's still more than a spirit. Now, God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. True, that's not what I'm saying. He's more than a figment of your imagination, amen. He's more than some pie-in-the-sky idea. I'm saying that God is real, Jesus is real, and he's got the power to conquer what's going to conquer you. They saw more than a vision. They thought, oh, this is just a spirit. And watch it, and it says they cried out. They cried out. Can I say it's all right once in a while to cry out in your trouble? Some people teach you, nah, you don't have to do that. Hey, listen, it's all right to cry. I'll say something about their cry. Number one, it was a definite cry. That cry has the idea that it was a deep cry that come up out of their lungs and through their throat. Man, it wasn't a whisper, man. Oh, God help me. No, it was that, hey! I mean, they were scared. Y'all with me? Here they are. They're in the midst of the sea. They're going through the storm. They're fighting it. Hey, the waves are coming. And then they see a ghost. What would you do? I know what some of yous do. Some of y'all wouldn't have been crying. Y'all would have been fainting. I ain't picking on you. Where's she at, Miss Tracy? She's done told me she's scared of ghosts. I tried to explain to her, there's no ghost in here except the Holy Ghost. Oh, preacher, I saw him. Hey, here they are. They are scared to death. And they cry. It's a definite cry. Let me say, not only was it a definite cry, hey, but it was a distressing cry. Hey, here they are, man. They are scared. I mean, can you hear the angles? I don't know what they said. I just know they cried out. It might have been, ah! I don't know, like some of them ladies when they see a mouse. Ah! Like me when I see a mouse. Amen? Honey, get it! Let me say, it was a desperate cry. It was a desperate cry. They realized that their life was at stake. They realize they're in the midst of the storm of their life. Now, if they would have had a little common sense, they could have thought back to Mark chapter 4 when they'd already been through a storm. But that time, Jesus was on the boat with them. Are y'all with me? But now, in the midst of their storm, Jesus put them out there. They're out there by themselves. But now he comes walking to them. And it scares them when they see him. It says they were troubled. They were all, they all saw him, verse 50, and were troubled. The word trouble means they were agitated. They were stirred up. They had an inward commotion. In other words, they had lost all peace. They had no calmness in their spirit. They were uptight. They were outraged. They were distressed, perplexed, anxious. Y'all ever got like that in the midst of a storm? Everybody should have raised their hand right there. You ever notice some people, man, they're all right when everything's going good at church, but the least little bump in the road, oh, preacher, what we gonna do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Next week, they're fine. And the next time they hit a bump, I don't know what I'm going to do. And every time, God brings them through it, no matter how little, no matter how big. And we fail to remember that. He's brought me through so many times. I know he'll bring me through this time. He's trying to teach you something. I like this. Not only was he conscious of them, not only did he come to them, but he conversed with them. Watch it here, down in verse number 50. It says, and immediately he talked with them. Man, I'm glad when he talks to me. I'm glad he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I'm glad I hear his voice. I'm glad he talks to me once in a while in that sweet, still small voice and says, hey, everything. You say, preacher, is that audible? No, it's louder than that. I'm talking about when he speaks to your spirit through the Word of God. Maybe you're hearing preaching. Maybe you're listening to a good song. Maybe you're reading the Scriptures. Maybe you're going, just having time of devotion, and you're praying, and he just, my day is going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Hey, and you're saying, man, I'm in the midst of a storm, and God says, I got you back. I got it. He talked with them.
it says he talked with them. Immediately he talked with them. You say, what did he say? Well, I like what he said. He said three things. First off, he said, be of good cheer. That's some words of inspiration. Can I say every time, hey, we go through a storm, sometimes it's good that we hear some terms and some words of inspiration. You're going to find that in the Word of God. Be of good cheer. Be courageous. Hey, lift up your head. Hey, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Sometimes he gives us some words of inspiration. Are y'all with me? Sometimes he'll encourage us. But then he didn't stop there. He said, be of good cheer. And then he said, it is I. Those are words of identification. He doesn't just tell you it's going to be all right. He says, I am the one. Hey, that word, that phrase, it is I, it's the same exact phrase that's translated, I am, in John chapter number 8, where Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And he says it here. It is I. In other words, I'm the self-existent one. I'm the only one that exists in and of themselves. I don't need you. You need me. Fear not. It is I. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. It's I. He's identifying who he is. Can I just say, that's stop, time out. Let me throw this in. In the midst of your storms, be careful who you listen to. Hey, be careful. There's a lot of voices out there. Amen. And the devil's pretty good at disguising himself as an angel of light. And he's pretty good at taking a little bit of truth and twisting it up with a whole lot of false. You better be careful, church. Listen to me. I'm trying to help. You better be careful what you listen to and who you listen to in your moment of despair. There's a lot of homes been busted up because in the midst of a hard time, somebody come around and said, well, if I was you, I'd just leave him. He done you wrong. You got every right. No, you don't. Shut up and get right with God. And y'all work it out just like God said it was. Hey, and quit listening to the wrong voices. There's a lot of people, hey, you're having trouble at church. You're going through a storm at church. Well, I tell you what I do. God's not the author of confusion. I just leave that church. No, if you want to help out, get together, work on the spirit of unity. Hey, get close to God. Help your family and the church get close to God. And stick it through and work on it and go forward. You better be careful. Listen to me. Hey, listen. Hey, you're going to mess up. You better listen to this old preacher. You better listen to the right voice. And God will identify who he is. You say, how will he identify? Because bit of advice God's going to give you in a storm, it's going to agree with this book right here. And if it ain't in agreement with this book right here, you better shun it. You better say, nah, I don't think I need Oprah. I don't think I need Dr. Phil. I don't think I need T.D. Jakes. Amen. I don't think I need that false prosperity gospel. I think I'll just keep pressing on right here, listening to the right voice. He said, it is I. It is I. And let me say this. He gave him words of inspiration. He gave him words of identification. But then he gave him some words of instruction. Watch it. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. In other words, he said, hey, he's about to get in the boat with them. Here he is. Watch. He said, be not afraid. That's pretty simple, isn't it? He just said, hey, boys, calm down. I got this. Be not afraid. It's me. Y'all remember me? Hey, I got you through the last storm. Hey, y'all remember me? Hey, I done raised dead. Y'all saw. Hey, y'all remember me? I fed 5,000. Y'all just watched me. It's me. Don't be afraid. Says, and he went up, verse 51. I'm almost done. Verse 51. And he went up unto them into the ship. I like that. Not only did he converse with them, but he communed with them. He's getting close to them. He's coming. He's done come to them in the storm, but now he's coming up in their ship. I'm going to get close. And he communes with them. And then watch, when he got in the ship, and it says, and the wind ceased. I like that. Now, if you remember back in Mark chapter 4, he spoke to the wind and said, peace, be still. But this time, he's not speaking to them. Hey, to the storm, he's speaking to the disciples. Can I say, just parenthetically, right? Sometimes, like the old song says, sometimes he's got to calm the storm, but sometimes he'll come and calm you and me. And that's what he's doing here. He gets in the ship, and when he gets in the ship, the wind ceased. You say, what's that mean? That means that you could have looked at that sea then, and it would have been like looking at a piece of glass. That means that the wind quit blowing. It was a strict stillness. You said, preacher, you really, or was it, no, it was immediate, man. The wind ceased. You said, preacher,
Yeah, that's what he does. He calms. And let me say this. They, those disciples, were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Wondered. Here they are. They're in amazement. I mean, they're like, I mean, really, they're like, y'all know the term, like a calf looking at a new gate. They have now witnessed another miracle. But verse 51 or 52, it says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I wonder this morning if you're going through a storm. Can I say they could have considered? They could have remembered how good God had been to. They could have thought back and remembered all those other miracles. They could have remembered the one specifically mentioned here, the 5,000 being fed. They could have remembered that thing and said, man, our God is a pretty big God. I'm sure he can handle that. He fed them 5,000 with enough food that one little boy took it for his lunch. Y'all understand that, you know, one little boy took those fishes and loaves. That was his lunch, a little boy, a little lad. Y'all with me? He took a lad. He didn't take, like, groceries with him for the week. He took lunch for the day for a little boy, and he fed 5,000 plus. They could have said, wow, that's pretty awesome. If he can do that, he can get us through this storm. Can I say this morning? I don't know what storm you're facing. Hey, you may have been saved for 2 weeks, 2 years, or 20 years. I don't know what storm you're in or what you're going into, but I can promise you this. You just need to remember back and consider what God. Can I say this? God's been good. You think about how good God's been. Just think about this. Hey, the fact that he saved you. Just think about how good he was when he put his own son on the cross, hey, for sins that you and I committed. He didn't deserve to go to Calvary, and you don't deserve to go to heaven. I heard about a preacher just this week that told some people that he deserved grace. Can I say this morning, if you think you deserve grace, you don't even know what grace is. None of us deserve to go to heaven. You say, well, it's not fair that some people go to hell. No, it's not fair that any of us go to heaven. And God's been good to you. God's given you a good wife. He's given you a good husband. He's given you a good family. He's taken care of you. He's met need after need after need. He's brought you through storm after storm after storm. He's provided. He's protected. He's cared for you. He spoke with you. He's let you know he's real time and time and time again. Can I say, there's no need to doubt him now, amen. The same God that was good in the past, the same God that was good yesterday and last year and last week, he's the same God that's going to be good tomorrow, and the same God's going to be good next week, and the same God's going to take care of you next year. He's a good God. Can I say, God has been good. Amen. Amen. What are you going through this morning? I don't know. You're going through a storm. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're standing all across the auditorium. Can I say sometimes you may feel like you may feel like you're deserted in the work. You may feel like you're the only one still serving God. You may feel like you're all alone in the battle. He sees you. Can I say you may be like the ones that thought they were doomed by the winds? You think you're fighting a storm and nobody can help you. No, you're going down this time for sure. Can I say, he's coming your way. You may be desperate for a word. You're crying out, God, God, can I say he's got a word for you. He'll come to you. He'll talk to you. He'll help you through his word. Pianist is playing. God spoke to your heart. If you need an altar this morning, the altar's open. If you need to be saved this morning, can I say Jesus will save you. Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. He died for you. If you need to be saved, would you come? Church, God spoke to your heart. Maybe.